Bezus Hashem, tonight we're going to be learning a piece from the Sefer HaTanya of Roshner Zalman of Liadi. And I think this passage is one of the most important passages in Jewish Machshava that you will ever hear, that you will ever learn. Because I think it gives a eye-opening perspective on what we're trying to accomplish with Avodas Hashem, or trying to accomplish with Talmud Torah. And hopefully, through the learning, we'll be able to, Bezus Hashem, get a deeper appreciation for why we learn Gemara B'Iyun, and why we spend so much time learning Halacha, and learning areas of Nigla. Not Nister, but Nigla. I want to just also say as a preface, that the purpose of this year is not a comprehensive discussion of why we learn Gemara B'Iyun. There are many, many different reasons, many, many different mahalchim, many, many different perspectives. We're going to be learning one approach that's specifically based on the writings of the Baal HaTanya. If it speaks to you, great, and use it to inspire you to learn more. If it doesn't, so don't think that it is the sole reason why we learn Gemara, and therefore, this is now going to be your opportunity to pass judgment on whether you're going to learn Gemara B'Iyun or not. With that hakdama, we're here in the very beginning of the Tanya, Lukutei Amarim, and the Tanya tells us after Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Ein Sof Ugedul Asar Ein Cheker, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is called the Ein Sof, eternity, infinity, no end. Ulegadluso Ein Cheker. There is no, we can't understand Him. We can't perceive or have any understanding of His greatness. V'leis Machshava Tzvisabe. Not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond all understanding, beyond all perception, so too is His Ratzon and His Chachma. Ugdulaso Ein Cheker. Kedichsiv Ein Cheker L'Tzvunaso Uksiv HaCheker Eloka Nimtza Uksiv Ki Lo Machshavosai Machshavoseichem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond. And this is a problem. I think we've spoken about this before. This is a problem that any person who tries to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu faces. How do I, a mere mortal, develop a relationship with something which is the complete opposite of me? It's immortal, it's intangible, something that I can't understand, I can't draw close to. How am I supposed to do this? Hello, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Eish Ochla. How can a person ever connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're told here, B'makom, al ze amru, b'makom sh'ata motze gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sham ata motze an vasanuso. Dafka, at this point, where we realize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is where we also realize the anava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowered Himself, kaviyachol. Simtzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ritzono v'chachmaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took His ratzon and His chachma. You'll notice in the beginning of the passage, we said that Hashem is beyond all knowledge, as is His Ratzon and His Chachma. Now when we're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mitzamtzem, we don't speak about Him being Mitzamtzem Himself, His essence, just His Ratzon and His Chachma. Hashem's essence remains up in the upper strata of the universe, obviously beyond the universe, in the upper world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond all of existence. And that is untouchable. That doesn't have any tzimtzum. But His ratzon and His chachma is mitzumtzam. It's brought down. It's brought down into our world. And the tarayag mitzvos, it's constricted into the tarayag mitzvos. Ubehil choseihen. Ubetzirufei osios, tanach. And into the halachos of Torah. And into the letters of Tanakh, and the drashos, and the agados, and the midrashei chazal, b'chdei shekol ha-neshama, o ruach v'nefesh, in order so that all aspects of our existence, our neshama, which is our highest level, our seichel, our ruach, which is our life force, and our guf, the three aspects, I think we've spoken about this before, the guf is our physical aspect, the ruach, is our life force, that which makes the difference between a dead carcass and a live person. Something that we have, animals have, some type of life force that gives us life. And then our soul, our intellect, the seichel, the neshama. So all three aspects of us, because we use all three aspects of those when we serve Hashem. When we learn, when we do mitzvot, we use our mind, we use our life, and we use our body. We use all of those things in our avodas Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, from a certain perspective, He took His ratzon, He took His chachma, and He brought it down into this world. It's called emanations. It emanated down into our world. And every world it went down, millions of worlds, each world that it went down, it took on the garb of that world. We know the names of some of these worlds. Bria, Atzilus, the world of Asiya, the world of Atzilus. In each of these different worlds, as it was filtering down Torah, it took on a garb of that world. And when it came down to our world, the garb that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in is the garb of Torah, the letters of the Tanakh, the Halachos. And Adam tuchal asigan b'dayta l'kaim and kol ma'asher l'kaim b'en b'maisa dibur machshava. And when he tries to fulfill the Torah with three things, maisa, dibur, and machshava, and as you can imagine, these three things parallel the three aspects of a person. Maisa is connected his guf, dibur is connected his life force, and machshava is connected his intellect. And by doing this, l'chein, therefore, nimshala haTorah l'mayim. And this is why, this is part of the omek of why Torah is nimshala l'mayim. It's compared to water. Ma mayim yardim mimakom gavol l'makom namach. Just like water comes down from a high place to a low place. This is true, first of all, just in the world that we have, the rain. It comes up from Shemayim and it comes down here. Also, when you pour water on the table, so the water will always flow down to the lowest point. A waterfall, a river, it'll always flow down. The water will always flow down to the lowest point. So too, Torah was yard mimakum kvoda shiratzona v'chachmaso v'yoraisa v'kutshavricha kulachad v'les machshava tvisa v'eklau. Torah really is all the way up in Shemayim. It's Hashem's ratzon. It's Hashem's machshava. But yet, like water, it flows down and it emanates its way down into our world. U'misham nasa'a v'yarda b'seisera madregos ni madrega l'madrega v'shtalshlus ha'olomos. It goes from world to world. Until it appears in our world clothed in physical clothing. The Inyani Olam Hazeh. Shehein Rov Mitzvos HaTorah Kekulam V'Hilchoseyem U'Bitzrufei Osios Gashmius B'Diyo Al Sefer, to the degree that it's ink on paper. Esrim V'Arba Svarim Shebetorah Nevi'im Uksuvim, the 24 books of Tanakh. And by Hashem allowing the Torah, this is a big concession on Hashem's part. He allowed something that's from the upper worlds to be manifest in our world. And by doing this, Hashem gave us an opportunity for everyone to grab hold of the Torah. We can even connect to it on the most physical aspects of ourselves, not only in our thought. Maybe Torah should only be something you could think about, because your mind is the most elevated part of you. That's why your head sits on the top of your head, of your body. Your mind is the most elevated part of you. Your mind is your Tzelem Elohim. So, maybe only your mind should be able to connect to Torah, and yet Hashem gives you the opportunity to speak words of Torah, and the ability to do mitzvos, that use your body to do Torah. And by doing this, a person completely connects his whole essence to Hashem. Hare kula tzrura b'tzor achayim es Hashem mamish. And the aura of Hashem is makifim. This is Perek Dawud, flip to the end. We've been reading from Perek Dawud, flip to the end of Perek Dawud. The afsha Torah nislabsha, you don't have to turn the page, I meant flip, but in the proverbial sense. The afsha Torah nislabsha b'dvarim tachtonim. And even though the Torah is clothed in gashmiest things, you learn about a shore goring another shore. You learn about kesef kiddushin. Harezek kimechabek es hamelech. When you're doing this, though, you don't realize that you're hugging the king. And now the Baal HaTanya tells us a sweet, beautiful mashal. Derech mashal. She'ein hefresh b'malos hiskarvuso v'dveikuso b'melech bein mechabko k'shulavush lovush echad bein shulavush kamalavushim me'achar she'guf ha'melech b'socham. You want to hug the king? You want to hug the king? So it doesn't make a difference if the king is in his pajamas, his royal pajamas, or if he's wearing his clothing and his long cloak and his winter jacket. When you hug the king, even if he's wearing four garments over him, you're still hugging the king. So too when the king hugs you, and he's wearing clothing and you're wearing clothing, you're still being hugged. Even though he's wearing all those clothing, the king is still hugging you. And it's the same thing with Torah. Even though we're not connecting to the essence of Torah, because the essence of Torah is all the way up there beyond us, but the clothing, we're able to connect to the clothing. Somehow, shore goring ashore is some physical levush of some deeper, deeper teaching. I don't mean that it's a mashal. Like if the shore represents like an angry person, and he gores someone else who's a happy person, and you have to pay double. I don't mean like we have to figure out some like nice, cute mashal. I can't necessarily explain to you how a shore goring another shore is a this worldly manifestation of something from another world. But that's partially because I don't even understand what it is up there, because I have no shaychus to that world. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu took something, and when it was manifest, it's the same thing with you. You realize that you are a manifestation of your soul. And your soul emanates from another world. The fact that my eyes are a little bit rounder and your eyes are a little squintier, and my hair is brown and someone else's hair is blonde, and I have less facial hair and you have more facial hair. So that all is reflective of a DNA, which is reflective of something of your essence. So we could try to start saying, oh, well, your red hair means that your soul is more like of an angry soul, and my soul is less, and well, you're going to try to start making mishalim. That's not true at the essence. Red hair doesn't mean that you're angrier. It might mean that you have more kochos in a certain area of your soul that in this world is manifest as anger. But at its source, it's not anger. There's no such thing as anger beyond our world. Think Hashem gets angry? You can tell me what the Pasuk says all the time. Hashem gets angry. Anger is a this world term. Hashem doesn't get angry, just like he doesn't get happy. These are terms that we use because it's the only way that we can even relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu being upset with us or being disappointed with us. But all of these terms that we use are made up terms for our world. So everything we see here is a representation of something in another world. Again, don't get stuck on a mashal. It's not a mashal. But it is the same thing up there, but in a more in a levush that is fitting of our to our world. Now, this is a very, very deep concept, and we've really only scratched the surface of it, and it still needs lots of explanation. But we're going to keep going because time is limited, and because these are ideas that the more you think about them and the more you hear about them, they'll sink in more and you'll understand them more. Now, the Baal HaTanya continues, and he tells us. The very beginning of Parakeh tells us that when a person thinks about something and studies something, he connects with it. Just like if you study a chair, for instance. You're all connected with chairs. What do I mean you're connected with chairs? When you first were taught about a chair, it's true that it didn't work this way because you were brought up as a child. But if you lived in a cave for your whole life until you were 20 years old, and I took you out of the cave, and you never saw a chair before. So I would have to describe to you a chair, or teach you what a chair is. I would tell you that it's a flat surface, has four legs coming out of it, and a back, and it actually fits perfectly because your body, when it bends, is in that shape. So you could sort of sit on it, supports your back, your legs dangle. And the next time I showed you a chair, you might look at it and say, oh wait, flat surface, four legs, back. Oh, I think that's a chair. I think that's what we were talking about. Now you don't think that way anymore. You don't see a chair. Even when I tell you the word chair, you don't have to have a process that says, wait a second, what's a chair? And then remember what a chair is. You have become one with the idea of a chair. You know what a chair is. You've connected with that piece of knowledge. It's like that with all knowledge. When a person's really in a sugya, really in it, so you could talk to him very quickly. He's flowing with it because if you've really chazed a sugya like 15, 20 times, and you did it like 1 year, 3 years ago, and you did it again this year, so you know you're like almost one with it. This is an idea that we find in lots of Jewish machshava. The idea that the maskil and the dabar hamuskal become one. That the thinker and the object of thought become one. Because you connect and unite with something. If Torah is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then when a person studies Torah, so he becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, now we can flip the page. This is what the Baal HaTanya is developing in Perek Hay. This is a concept that the Rambam writes a lot about in Mor Nevuchim. This idea. He speaks there about becoming one with a palm tree. But we won't go into that right now. Towards the bottom, towards the end of Parakei, and when a person knows Torah, not the act of studying Torah. We have to be mechalik between the act of studying Torah and the acquisition of knowledge. When a person acquires knowledge of Torah, the seichel, his mind, his neshama, becomes encloaked with the clothing, with the chachma of Hashem. And the Chachma of Hashem becomes in his soul, in his bekirbo, because his seichel has been masig and tofes. Mash efshe lo litfos. A person takes in the Torah, it becomes part of him. Ulefisha b'yediyas ha-Torah, ha-Torah melubashas b'nefesh adam b'sichlo u'mukefes b'socham. And since when a person studies Torah, he actually takes it in and it becomes part of him. Lochein nikreis b'shem lechem. For this reason, Torah is referred to as lechem. Umazon ha-nefesh, umazon ha-nefesh, and food for the soul. Ki kemosha lechem ha-gashmi, zanis ha-guf, just like physical food nourishes the body, kishem machniso besocho, v'kirbo mamish, v'nepach sham lios dam u'basar kibisaro, when a person eats a hamburger, so that meat goes into your stomach, it's broken down by your stomach, and the waste is removed, but the good part of the meat becomes part of you. That's why it's such a serious thing to eat non-kosher food, because when you eat it, it becomes a part of who you are. It becomes your fat, it becomes your muscle, it becomes part of you. The vitamins, the minerals, everything that's in it goes into you. It powers your brain, it powers your movement, it goes into your bloodstream. The az yichya, and you live off of that food. You actually take the food and you make it part of you. The iskayin kach, the adias hator vasagasa benefesh adam shalom beheita biyun sichlo. The same thing happens when a person learns Torah. When a person learns any piece of material, it becomes part of his mind. You learn the tosos; it's now in your head. It's part of you, and it becomes part of your spiritual body. And you live through it. And this is why, as the Pasuk says, V'toroscha b'soch me'ai. This comparison that the Baal HaTanya makes is a very, very important comparison, and I want to develop it a little bit. This concept of Torah being spiritual food. We're all aware of the fact that we are creatures that are part physical and part spiritual. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Tav, Tezvav, Tezayin, speaks about how we're partial, three parts. Angel, three parts. Animal. We all know that we have a ruchnius side and a physical side. And in many ways, these two sides of us, these two parts of us, parallel each other. Just like your physical body needs food, nutrients, nourishment in order to live. It's what powers your body. Right? We're all familiar with that. And we also know that there are certain foods that are very good for your body. And there are other foods that are very bad for your body. If you eat broccoli and non-roasted nuts and whole wheat bread, so it is good for your body. It powers your body. There's less waste. Know that a baby produces much less waste than a human because the milk from the mother is so packed with things that the baby needs, there's much less waste. The healthier the food, the less waste there is. And the food goes to power your body more. You get more bang for your buck because you're taking in the food, more higher percentage of the food is going towards powering your body. And when you're hungry, you don't really care what you're eating. You'll eat a chocolate bar, you'll eat anything, it'll make you feel good, and you can live off chocolate bars for a while, and fast food. And it tastes good. But we all know that in the long run, if you want, right, it's like a car. You could dump any junk into your engine, any junky oil, junky gas, and your car will run for a certain amount of time. But if you want to get real life out of your car, you got to put good stuff into it. Same thing with your body. You can eat chocolate bars and eat fast food. Your body will last for 40 years, 45 years, 50 years. But then you're going to run into trouble because you haven't been taking care of your body. When you eat healthy food, so then it gives your body the ability to live longer and to produce better. It's the same thing with our souls. Why would our spiritual side, just think about it, why would our spiritual side be any different than our physical side? Just like the physical side of us needs something to power it, why wouldn't your spiritual side need something to power it? Why wouldn't your intellect and your soul need nutrients? Of course it does. So the same thing is true as we find by our bodies. You could feed your spiritual soul chocolate bars and fast food, and it'll last for a while. You can read trashy novels and you can watch exciting movies that'll keep you stimulated. You know, you can read all types of things. You can even read things that aren't bad for you. You can read the news. That'll stimulate you. It'll keep the mind going. It might even inspire you sometimes. You hear a story, you'll cry, you'll be in touch with your emotions. Your spiritual side will be living. But in the long run, if it's not what the food that was created for your body, right? Going back to our car muscle. You go in to change your car's oil and they say, what oil do you want? You say, I don't know, just give me anything. But we only have motorcycle oil. Okay, put the motorcycle oil in. What do I care? So your car is going to run for 1,000 miles, 20,000 miles, and it's going to fall apart. Because if you don't put in the oil that was produced for your car, so your car's not going to run properly. So just like physically, there are foods that are good for your body and foods that are bad for your body, spiritually, there's food that's good and there's food that's bad. And the food that's good is the Torah. Hashem created Torah in order to fuel our spiritual souls. Now you say, what do you mean? Why? Why? Why Torah? Why not the physics? Why Torah? Why not a trashy novel? Why Torah? So I ask you the same question about physical food. Why broccoli and whole wheat? So tell me, see, we know more about our physical body than we know about our spiritual body. We don't really know anything. We're so distant from our spiritual souls, so we don't know anything about it. We know a lot about the physical body. So you tell me, oh, broccoli is good because it has lots of vitamins in it. Okay, good. So why are vitamins good for you? Oh, vitamins are good because the cells and the need the things that are in them. Okay, well, why do they need those things? Why don't they need something else? At a certain point, you're going to hit a wall. At a certain point, you're going to have to say, well, that's how the body was created. There's a reason why vitamin C is good for the body, because the body was created in a way that vitamin C is good for it. Even if you can explain to me, and I'm not a biologist or a nutritionist, I don't necessarily know why vitamin C, what in our cells needs vitamin C and why it's good for us. But I do know that at a certain point, the answer is going to be, well, the cell was created that way that it needs vitamin C. Let's say God decided to create that you don't need vitamin C, you need vitamin Q. So then we wouldn't be eating oranges, we'd be eating whatever, leaves, because leaves have lots of vitamin Q in them. We're just so used to the system because we're familiar with it. We know vitamin C is good. So the same way that the body was created, that certain things provide nutrients for it, it's the same thing with our spiritual souls, our spiritual bodies. And Hashem tells us that if you want your spiritual soul to be alive and well, don't eat fast food all day. Learn Torah. And you'll bring that in, it'll become part of you. Just like the orange becomes part of your fat and part of your cells and part of your blood, so too the Torah will become part of your spiritual blood and your spiritual fat and your spiritual limbs. Tzelem Elokim, Tayag mitzvahs keneged the Tayag Evarim, the Shasa, Gidim, and the 248 Evarim, those are spiritual Evarim. What does your spiritual leg look like? I don't know, because it's spiritual. I don't know what it looks like. But you have a spiritual leg, some counterpart to your leg. And it also needs nutrients, and the nutrients is going to come from Torah. And that's why we find often that Torah is compared to food. Take a look here at the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Hei. Ha'i kol tzama l'chul amayim. All those of you who are thirsty, come, have some water. V'asherin lo kesef. You don't need any money. I can give you water without money. Really? Where is there a water company that's willing to give water for free? L'chul shivru v'yachlu. Come, eat. L'chul shivru b'lo kesef. For free. B'lo mechir yayin v'chalav. I'll give you wine. I'll give you milk. You won't have to pay for it. Really? Where do you get that? What makolet gives you wine and milk? Take a look at the Radak. Says the Radak, Hamayim Mashal Torah,
Water here doesn't mean come and drink water. The Navi's telling you, come, drink Torah and Chachma. Just like, why is it compared to water? Just like your physical body can't exist without water. Just like the physical world can't exist without water and without Chachma. And just like a person who's thirsty desires water, so too your soul needs water. So too the world needs water. We spoke about this last week with the Nefesh HaChaim, as the Nefesh HaChaim writes, that without a moment of Torah, the world will cease to exist. Just like the world needs water, the world, the spiritual side of the world needs Torah. And just like your body needs water, your body needs Torah. This is the Pasuk. Lo rav lo lechem lo tzama lo mayim kin l'shmo es devar Hashem. Asher ein lo kesef. Nimshla Torah liyayin. Why is Torah compared to yayin? Because yayin is misameach lev. Just like a good comedy makes your body happy, and you smile and you laugh, or a fun amusement park, so too Torah is something that can provide simcha for your soul. And just like milk, kemo shachalav kiyum, the hayonek, the godlo, just like the baby lives off of milk, it provides the nutrients the baby needs, and it allows him to grow and to develop properly. If you took a baby and you only give him water all day, you don't give him milk, he's not going to develop so well. He needs his mother's milk. So too, a soul to develop properly needs Torah. And if you don't put milk into the soul, if you don't put Torah into the soul, you feed it all types of other drinks, foreign drinks. So the hashkafos, the morals of the person will come out crooked because they don't have the proper nutrients that's necessary. Why are you working so hard and not getting full? Says the Radak, quoting the Ibn Ezra, why are you spending so much time studying other chachmos nachrios that aren't going to help you? They're not going to help your guf and your nefesh. Rather, what should you do, as the Pasuk says? Achlu tov, eat good. This is Torah. As the Pasuk says, ki lekach tov nasati lachem. Kemosha dover, which is fat and good, is tanug for a guf, so too the Torah and Chachma is tanug for the neshama and gives it life. We'll end with one last piece here. This is from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam in Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed, tells us what we've been talking about, top of the left page, left column. Sometimes Chazal used the word achila in reference to Madra and Limud, Torah also. Ubichlal asagos asichlios asher behem yasmin kiyum atzura ha'enoshis. And also for the acquisition of knowledge, which is what gives continued existence to mankind in the most perfect way. Kiyum haguf, just like the soul's existence is driven by mazon. L'chu shivru v'yachlu, he quotes our pasuk in Yeshaya. Shimu shamu elai v'achlu tov. Gam shimush der rav b'divrei chachamim. Chazal also used this comparison. Ulefi, will end with this comparison here. Ulefishnis rabbi ashimush hazeh b'loshon. Because this has become so used, the comparison of Torah to not to food, so too they used it for the opposite, for rav and for tzama. Leheder halimud v'asaga. When a person doesn't have Torah, so he's defined as being hungry. We all know that when a person is hungry for food, when a person is starving, so he'll just eat anything. He'll shove it in his mouth. That's one type of starving, one type of hunger. When you desire food, and you'll take anything. You all know, like when you're on a tiul, and you're starving, and they stop for a break, they give you like that soggy salami, and those Israeli pickles. And you might not like the rolls, but they might be half stale. It tastes so good. You just eat it. Because you're so hungry, you just scarf it down. There's another type of hunger that the body has. And that's a hunger for nutrients, for vitamins. That hunger is sometimes harder to perceive. You can eat chocolate bars all day for a week and feel full. And your body is really starving for iron. You could be low on iron. You don't feel it necessarily. Maybe you feel a little weak. But you don't sense like the way that you sense when you're hungry for food. You don't sense that you're hungry for iron. You walk around all day, middle of afternoon, Seder, it's like 6 p.m. and you're saying like, oh gosh, I'm so hungry.
and dinner is just going to be air breakfast. But I'm so hungry, you're thinking to yourself. You don't walk around at 6 o'clock thinking to yourself like, oh gosh, I really need some vitamin B12. I'm really missing some vitamin B12. You have a tremendous hunger. Your body can be hungering. Starving. Thank you. Starving for vitamins. Starving for nutrients. But you don't necessarily perceive that. And it's the same thing spiritually. Our souls are hungry all the time for spiritual sustenance. So we feed it. We give it whatever we can. We watch a funny YouTube click. We read a good book. We're in the bathroom. Even when we're in the bathroom, all of a sudden we're like going crazy. We need to do something. We got to read something. Our soul is, and our intellect is starving for something. So we give it things. And then we're satiated. Then we're fine. We feel good. We see a good movie. We go to sleep. We think about the movie. We're fine. We don't realize that the soul is actually starving for vitamins. It's starving for the things that it really needs. But we don't perceive that, just like we don't perceive it with the physical food. And that's why it's so important to be knowledgeable. Just like if you're knowledgeable, you'll know that your body needs vitamin C. It needs iron. Maybe that's why you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling down. Same thing spiritually. The reason why you might be feeling spiritually frustrated is because even though you're eating and you're filling your spiritual soul with lots of knowledge and lots of interesting things, you're not getting what the soul really needs. So Hashem should help that we should all be healthy individuals. We should find good nutritionists who can tell us what we really need. And hopefully if we set ourselves a good diet, so we'll be able to live long, healthy, prosperous lives. Everyone have a good night.